Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast was recorded in Brisbane, Australia, the land of the Turrbal, Yagara, and Yagurrbal people. And we acknowledge all elders past, present, and emerging.
Hello again, it's Matt Young from the Story Chunder podcast. This recording is from our live event that we had on the 31st of August 2020 at Backdock Arts in Brisbane's Fortitude Valley. So if you're ever in Brisbane, come along and check out the live show, which then becomes the podcast. Our theme this week is Perspective is Everything. This was suggested by one of our storytellers, Lorna Bremner, last week. We thought we might get some sort of he said, she said sort of stories or some reflections back on times in our lives. And of course, the storytellers did not disappoint. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Our first storyteller is Yanni Tevo, who actually used to be my neighbor in Fiji. We lived on the same street, Batavia Road, and he is from the island of Rotuma in Fiji, and he had a story to tell about a significant animal from his island.
So, Moya Yamoni, Bolovinaka, and hello everybody. As Matt was saying, my name is Yanni Tevo. I'm from an island called Rotuma, which is like this tiny island, which is like just slightly north of Fiji. And I'm also part of Rako Pacifica, which is just an arts collective where we really focus on reviving our culture and taking that kind of message across the world and trying to inspire youths to look through their identity and their heritage and find what's lost there. Today I kind of just wanted to share a story about this bird that lives on our island called the Armia. So it's also scientifically called like a Rotuman Maizomila. It's this really tiny red and black bird, which although it's like really small, it's one of the most significant like creatures in our culture. A lot of our chiefs and our elders, our strong men and our warriors, they adorn themselves with like these necklaces and these headdresses made from the feathers of this bird. And a lot of the strong men, when we would compete, they would like often put the actual bird on their shoulder as a sign of their prestige and to like sort of display their strength and to kind of like intimidate their opponent a little bit. Although it's this really tiny and can seem like an insignificant kind of creature, it's one of the most iconic and most important pieces of our culture, and I think that's kind of what I try to tie into the whole thing of perspective is everything, because although it seems small, it's huge for who we are as a people. And it's been sort of the symbol of what we do in Rako Pacifica. It's embodied our vision, embodied everything that we are about, which is just reviving our culture and like trying to diversify our thinking and show us new paths of what we do now and bring it into kind of the modern society as it is now. It's also helped us to really connect with a lot of other Pacific cultures. As we get to travel the world and share our stories and share our dances and share our music and share our art and share our fashion, we connect with all these other First Nations brothers and sisters who either know of Rotuma or have some people from their island that are from Rotuma or have heard names that come from Rotuma or even have names that come from Rotuma. And it's really been this like key factor in connecting us with all of these other cultures, whether it be with like similar songs, or a lot of the words that we use are like very similar in nature. It's kind of really opened our minds to everything that our island is about, and like how connected the Pacific is. And it, I don't know how to say it, but more the salt water in all of our veins kind of connected us together and kind of drew this unspoken connection with each other. Another point that I kind of drew with this was like urging people to look beyond what is right there, look beyond what is right in front of you, because you kind of, you learn new things when you look further behind what's just presented to you. And the Pacific is evident of that. It's this kind of ring of fire of all of these people who are proud of who they are, who are proud of where they come from. But then you also have Pacific people who live all across the globe who have lost that part of them. And I think that's one of the thing, biggest things that Rako is a part of, is getting those people and interesting them in searching into the lost parts of their identity and finding out their heritage. And I think that's one thing that I really like, really caught me with the theme of perspective, is everything is, we tend to take things for granted, and I think always searching for that new perspective on things is what makes life interesting and what can really broaden your horizons and open your mind. So yeah, thank you.
What an absolute delight to have one of my neighbors from Fiji come join me in the show in Brisbane. Our next storyteller is Tammy Wells. She's no stranger to the Story Chunder. She is an actor and she's also a poet. This is a relatively new thing since COVID-19. She's been inspired by a lot of the themes that we've chosen for the Story Chunder, and often in her writing practice tries to write a poem that's related to our theme, which she's done again this week with Perspective Is Everything. Enjoy, Tammy Wells.
Okay, excellent. All right, so, yeah, so I was on the Instagram live show 3 times, I believe, 2 stories and a poem I think I did on there, and I've been here lots of times, and this is actually my first time telling a story live here. And I actually wrote a poem instead of coming up with a story. Just a bit of background about me and poetry. Never written a poem before in my life until COVID started. I've now written 20 poems. I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't do it ever before. I just, one day, the first poem I wrote was quite emotional and sad, and I had been watching the news a lot, and everything that was happening with COVID right at the beginning was just really upsetting me. And I was just sitting at the dining table and I just had some thoughts and I wrote them down, and when I looked down at them, a few of the lines rhymed with each other, and I thought, oh, okay, all right then. And so I just kept going and everything just started rhyming, and pretty much at least once a week for quite a lot of weeks, whenever something would upset me or make me laugh or whatever, I'd just sit down and write a poem. And sometimes I had to really think about it to make it rhyme, but a lot of the times just my brain was just making things rhyme, and I guess that was maybe my way of coping with whatever was going on. So that's sort of my background in writing poetry. When it's all over, I probably won't ever write another poem again, but you never know. So anyway, so tonight's poem, obviously the theme was, is Perspective Is Everything. So I'll just call my poem Perspective, and I hope you enjoy it. Perspective is one of those really weird things. There is always, at least, 2 ways to look at something. If you look hard enough, you'll find even more. Soon, you'll do it automatically. It won't be a chore. Your outlook, your experience, your emotions change the way that you look at the world around you each day. Sometimes, to see it differently, all you have to do is change your tone of voice or the word in the sentence you give emphasis to. Oh, nobody gives a shit. Yay, nobody gives a shit. I never said she stole my money. 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 When COVID first started, I would often say, I'm not working, so I have nothing to do all day. I went on job seeker payments. The process quite sucks. But really, it's not that much to do to get a few bucks. Now that auditions and being on set have started again, there's no pesky job to cramp my availability, my friend. I hope that my little poem has helped you to see that if you have a new perspective, it will help set you free.
Thank you, Tammy, for another exciting poem. Lots of fun. I always enjoy having Tammy Wells come to the Story Chunder. If you haven't come to our event, it's a really unique sort of weird little thing here in Brisbane. It's in this tiny little theater, and we get all sorts of different people dropping in, from very experienced to just trying something out, something new out. And speaking of very experienced, or maybe trying something new out, or a little bit of both, we have Jordan Malone. Jordan's a local music theater singer. She was just in the Broadway, well, the Australian tour of the Broadway musical, or the West End musical, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And and she had a very funny story about her time with the show where she had to play an Oompa Loompa.
I found it hard to think of one story for this theme because I feel like I'm quite good at perspective when I experience things. Like, I always think of the other side of it, or look back on things as like, oh, I've grown from that, that's why it happened. Like, always think of it as a positive thing. So I could think of many things, but I thought I'd tell you a funny story. And of course it's about performing. So I did Charlie at the Chocolate Factory, and part of that was being an Oompa Loompa. So what we had to wear was basically, oh, I miss it so much. So we had to wear basically a black, complete bodysuit with like everything black, you can see our bodies. And then orange eyebrows, like we had to paint them on every night, and then a big orange wig. And at the start it was like, oh my God, what are we doing? But then you just see everyone as Oompa Loompa all the time and you get used to it. So all the way to I was an Oompa Loompa, and this is my first professional show ever, so I took it very seriously, and I had two solo lines in the second act as an Oompa Loompa. So the first one goes, for though your tour is at an end, and it's when Augustus is dying, like getting sucked down the chocolate fountain, and then the second one is like later on in a random Oompa Loompa chorus number. So I was really excited to get these solos, these like 10 second lines. And obviously in your first show, if you get sick, the first time calling off sick, you just don't want to. Like, it's still a thing, even if you are having an industry for ages, calling off sick is something you don't want to do. Like, you don't want to seem like you're letting everyone down, but obviously you don't want to give everyone the sickness. And so I was feeling a little tickle in my throat that week. I was like, what's going on? I didn't want to pull out. And also the musical director for the show is someone, her name's Kelly Dickerson. She's like the highest of the high MDs in Australia, and it was so cool to work with her. Anyway, so I was feeling a little tickle in my throat. it just makes me laugh, this story. And so what happens is, I'll add to that for you. So we come on this like cart that comes onto stage, like we're all lined up as Oompa Loompas, like on our knees. You just have these little bodies, puppet bodies, and we're going up and down like this, coming on the stage. And then we're singing the song, it's like, well, how's it going? The Augustus Gloop song. Oh wait, Oompa Loompa, doopity doo, you know, that classic Oompa Loompa song. And then it gets time to my solo. Everything seems fine. And then I open my mouth, and I kid you not, like, there's literally like like 2,000 people in the audience, and this is what I sound like. For the winter is at an end. Like, it was probably worse than that. Like, it was so bad because phlegm just covered my chords and I had no control over it. And I remember the MD just being like, what the hell? Like, conducting, and everyone on stage, like, could not stop laughing, and we struggled to continue with the number. Like, there was still like 2 minutes left, and everyone was laughing, and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna get fired. I've cracked on this 2 second solo line, I'm gonna get fired. And anyway, it was hilarious. Like, looking back, it was very funny, but in the moment, I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna die. Like, I was so sad. And then I went to the MD after. I was like, I just have to say, I'm so sorry about what happened. She's like, oh no, it's fine. Like, I hope you're okay. I've been feeling. And I was like, okay. So it's fine. You should have just called out sick because you were feeling sick. Like, anyway, that's my looking back on the perspective is that just call out sick if you're sick. Don't push on. Because that will happen, and then you just feel embarrassed. And yeah, don't stuff up the Oompa Loompa number. That's the end of the story. But yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, I've had that experience myself as a singer where I should have called into the show, and I did not. Now, to finish off our podcast for today is Chris Martin. Chris is a comedian. He's an improviser with Big Fork Impro Company here in Brisbane. He's a podcaster. Check out The Binge Minute. He's been a regular podcast guest on other comedians and storytellers' podcasts, so he always knows what to do when it's time for him to get up in front of a microphone. And I love this story because I completely relate to it, and I imagine some of you may too.
So when Matt told me the theme of tonight was perspective is everything. The first thing that came in my head was lying. For whatever reason, the word lying just flashed in my brain. And I thought about that for a little while, and I think maybe it's because when you tell a lie convincingly enough, the person who receives that lie will, from their perspective, it will be the truth. All right, so I was like, this is an interesting idea, so let's go down this rabbit hole. And I've been lying to myself for years, all right? So when I was born, I got a double whammy of ADD and dyslexia, okay? So they're both, I guess, learning difficulties. ADD is more of a bit hyperactive, and dyslexia kind of affects ways you like perceive things, and a lot of people think, you know, people with dyslexia are like stupid or something like that. That's not true at all. It's more to do with how your brain interprets the world, right? So my dyslexia, how it presents itself, is if I see something I've never seen before, I will make my own definition of that thing based off the history of what I've learned from my life. Okay, so I'll bring two things together and be like, that's what that must mean, even if it's completely wrong, okay? So, like, I guess two good examples of that would be the word expat. We all know what expat is. So an expat is someone who lives in a country that they weren't born in or they're not native to, yeah? I only found that out 3 weeks ago. My whole life, I thought an expat meant they were like some sort of ex-vet in the army. You know what I mean? They're an ex-army person. Because to me, expat and vet kind of came together and similar. So it sounded very military. So in my brain, I'm like, oh, an expat is just a military person. And I found this out with, I was talking to my friend, another comedian called Dusty Rich, about 3 weeks ago, and he's from South Africa, and he was talking about how he's an expat, and he's about my age. I went, oh, you're ex-military? And he looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I went, yeah, and I had a little laugh, and then I googled expat, like, oh shit, I was wrong. The other one, I think, you obviously, when like Facebook came in and all that sort of stuff, like messaging, you probably heard the term PM me. Yeah? Just PM me. Little innocent term there. It means personal message. I thought it meant message me after dark. That's what I thought it meant. Because my brain went AM, PM, that's my smart what it meant. So a lot of people are like, why haven't you messaged me yet? I'm like, it's not dark. And they're like, what are you talking about? Anyway, so this is how my brain works. So let's go down this kind of rabbit hole of lying. So I want to talk about a time where I nearly fell, and I kind of did actually, for one of the great lies. Right? So this happened in 2017, and I had just bought a brand new laptop. Okay? It was a Dell, it was nice. I took it home, and within 5 minutes, I had fucked it. All right, I've never done this in quicker to a laptop. What I did is I opened it up, I went straight on the internet and I tried to download iTorrents because I wanted to like download movies illegally, but I had no idea it didn't have like protection. So what I did is I also downloaded a major virus that just chewed through my computer. Within minutes, I had screwed this laptop up. And as like as the all these pages were opening up, like my laptop was so sick and it was working, I was like, I don't know what's happening. But suddenly this ad popped up, right? And it said, it was a very convincing looking ad. And it said, this is Microsoft. We've detected an issue with your computer. You have to ring this number right now. Generally, I'd be like, this is a scam, all right? But because my computer was actually sick and dying, my dyslexic brain went, no, this is legit. This is legit. So I rang that number, and of course, you know, the general thing happened. A gentleman, I can't remember his name, but he had an Indian accent. He answered the phone, and let's just call him Tim. It was Tim. Let's call him Tim from now on. And Tim was like, hi, how can I help you? And I went, oh, you'll never believe this. But I was on my computer, and this ad popped up saying, we're Microsoft. I'm like, oh, well, great. And they said, I have to ring you immediately. And they said, yeah. And my instinct was like, this is a scam. But for whatever reason, my brain was like, not following through with it, because there was enough evidence to suggest that this was true. And I actually asked him, I said, is this a scam? And he went, no. And that was enough for my brain to be like, all right, that's cool, great. And then he said, first thing, you're going to need to give me access to your computer. And I went, absolutely, let's do this right now. So like a little box for it, I put in the, like, you know, I said yes, and then he was in, he had control of my computer, right? And he went down, he pressed a button, and all this weird gibberish kind of shot up, and he said, that's your problem right there. And I was like, oh no, that's terrible. But then he opened up another box, he said, put your card details in, right? He said, I need you to put your card details in this box before we proceed. I was like, how much is this going to cost me? He's like, oh, it's pretty sick. Probably about $500. I'm like, oh, all right. And then I said, why would I get it fixed with you? Why can't I just take my laptop to a computer man and get him to fix it? And then he said, the greatest line in the history of humans. He said, because what we're dealing with here is not a computer virus. It's an internet virus. The virus is in your internet. Taking your computer to a computer man won't fix the internet virus. And I was like, holy shit. This is serious. Oh my God. I'm like, an internet virus? He's like, uh-huh. Which is really weird, because right at the same time, I was on like my girlfriend's laptop on my internet, and there was nothing going wrong with it. And for some reason, my brain didn't make the connection, all right? But I was like, oh shit, here are my internet details. My card details. So I put my card details in the box. The whole time in the background, I'm like, this is a scam. This has to be a scam. But I'm still doing it for some reason. I put all my card numbers, everything in this box. And I found out recently from a friend that what they do is they actually put malware. So they install like spyware on your computer because just giving you the card numbers doesn't really do anything because they need to like, you know, they have to buy things for that to work. They can't physically take cash out of you. But they when you go on the internet, they can actually see it from there because there's like some sort of spy stuff. Yeah, that's what, that's how good I am at the internet computer, man. Spy stuff. There's spy stuff there. So then what he said is like, it's going to take a few hours for me to fix it. And I was like, okay. And then I said, listen, this is really awkward. I was still talking to this guy on the phone. I'm like, this is really awkward. You have control over my computer right now. He's like, uh-huh. And I said, I have to see a friend at a stand-up gig. Do you mind if I just leave you doing your thing while I just go out and meet my mate? And he was like, absolutely, that's 100% fine. I was like, great, works out. And I hung up the phone, I said, well, I'll end the call now, you do what you have to do on the laptop, and I will go and see my friend, and just let you do things. So I hung up, and while I got dressed, my bathroom was there, he was probably looking at me through the... I probably walked naked from my thing to get a bathroom, come back out. The whole time, like, this has got to be a scam. Like, I bet he's going to do something sus. So what I did is I walked out my door to leave, and then I kind of crawled back into my room looking at the laptop really slowly. I saw the mouse moving and then stopped. And I just know that we had this moment where we looked at each other through the camera. And then I was just like, let's just go see my mate. And I was like, have a good one. I rang at the computer and I left. And I got to the gig. It was at Stones Corner Hotel. And I was talking to my friend, and then my girlfriend turned up. And I was like, oh, you wouldn't believe the afternoon I had. And she was like, what happened? I'm like, oh, I bought the computer, fucked it in 2 seconds, right? But luckily, Microsoft ad popped up, and this man is fixing my laptop as we speak at home. And she went, what is that number? And right before I finished that, I got a phone call from this man. My laptop was so sick that it actually booted it off my server, all right? And he was like, listen, you need to go home and give me access to my computer. And I'm like, dude, this is my password, baby. And I gave him my laptop password over the phone. But my saving grace was my computer was literally that sick that he couldn't access anything, all right? My girlfriend Googled the number that I had like been dialing, and she said, this is a scam immediately. And I just went, oh, I knew it. And I went home, and like luckily enough, my computer had blue screen to death, so nothing was happening. And I rang, I looked at my bank account, no money had been taken. He'd had my card details for 6 hours and no one had bought anything. So I canceled that account. So I got away with it. You know what? So I got lied to, and I believed the lie, but I feel like something in the universe helped me that day. And I guess the take-home message is perspective. Take-home message for perspective is follow your gut instinct. If you think that something is off, 9 times out of 10, something's off, and you should remove yourself from that situation. My name is Michael Spartan. Thank you very much.
Which brings us to the end of another episode of the Story Chunder podcast. I hope you've enjoyed. Follow us on all of our social medias at The Story Chunder. We have a YouTube channel if you want to see what our storytellers look like. You can check out thestorychunder.com. You can make a donation to our Patreon or just put some money into our PayPal. And just continue enjoying listening to these stories and telling your own stories, because as we always say at The Story Chunder, this is an ancient practice that has been practiced for many years before we came along onto this land. So we encourage you, just tell your stories, share your stories, whether they're humorous, heartfelt, or embarrassing, and we can all just enjoy each other's uncomfortableness and be one big happy human family. All right, thanks. It's been Matt Young for the Story Chunder. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.